and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
That is just a fact of life.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history, Pedro Fernandez.
Woo, it's going to be good.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37, make that 38 plus years now, of knocking out all bums. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to the show. I am your modest host, of course. I'm also a four-time Golden Glove champion and a award-winning writer, so evidently, supposedly, I know something about boxing, but if you know more, please, this is your show. Join us on the toll-free, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. You want to text us here in the studio, the text number, 1-415-275-1613. Once again, the studio text line, 415-275-1613. This is 2 hours of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV. This is our second edition of WBC TV. Of course, we will be airing live on Twitch.tv, the sports, Twitch.tv, the sports Byline USA channel. And of course, it'll be live and delayed, I think, for 11 days. So straight up, you can catch the video at Sports Byline USA's channel on the Twitch.tv method. Bottom line is, we're talking boxing for the next couple of hours, of course. Canelo Alvarez, wow, what can I say? 55-1 now, a couple of draws, 37 KOs. He plucked every feather out of Turkey's Avni Yildirim last night, of course, 21-3 now, 12 KOs. You gotta say this, he looks scared. I mean, the kid from Turkey looks scared. I mean, I saw that look in his face. He didn't want to get off that stool for that fourth round. I don't blame him. Taking a beating like that, he was about to get annihilated. You know, nobody wants to step up and face annihilation. So I thought it was a smooth move of him to bow out before the fourth round. But you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We'll be joined by the Godfather, the retired HBO Godfather, Larry Merchant will be here. Socrates Palmer will be here. A special to Joe Frazier with Richard Sloan and more today on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. 2 hours of WBC TV. Stick around for the ride.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
Thank y'all for tuning in. All the fans around the world, we love y'all.
They're really rocking in Boston and Pittsburgh, PA.
You know, Chuck Berry, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, as I said last night, on the zone, baby. WBA and WBC super middleweight champion, that's 168 pounds. Saul Canelo Alvarez, now 55-1, a couple of draws, 37 KOs, whacked out. Actually, he got the young man to quit on the stool after the third round. The bottom line is he was knocked down once. I'm talking about Turkey's Avni Yildirim, now 21-3 with 12 KOs. Smart move to him to stay on the stool and not come out for round number four. It looks like Eddie Hearn has announced that Canelo will be facing WBA 168-pound title holder. I'm talking about Billy Joe Saunders. He is a gypsy, believe it or not. He's one of those traveler guys that lives in, like, mobile homes. I'm kidding you not. He's a gypsy. Like, they travel around Europe in mobile homes, like him and Tyson Fury, too. Well, we'll get into that in depth maybe a little bit later, but that's a subject for another day. Anyway, Billy Joe Saunders and Canelo will rock on the Zone. That's going to go down May the 8th. So if you haven't got your the Zone subscription yet, get it. If you haven't got your ESPN Plus subscription yet, get it. I think combined, you'll spend $25. You get more fights than you were getting on HBO and Showtime put together. Speaking of Showtime, let's not speak of Showtime. Anyway, Eddie Hearn looks like he's making a move to be the promoter of the world. We'll talk about, I mean, like the biggest guy on the planet. There's no doubt about that. In the battle for the WBC interim flyweight titles, 112 pounds, McWilliams Arroyo of Puerto Rico, 21-4, now 16 wax, scored a fifth round TKO over last minute substitute Abraham Rodriguez of Mexico. He came in at 27-2, left at 27-3, 13 KOs. I gotta give this guy all the props in the entire world. I'm talking about, you'll probably never hear of him again. Abraham Rodriguez came in at the last minute. Fought gamely. I mean, he really fought gamely. He came in, he was outweighed, he was outsized, he came in at the last minute. I think they told him like 18 hours before the fight he was going to be fighting, for this version of the, vacant WBC interim 112-pound title, and against a decent guy in McWilliams Arroyo from Puerto Rico. So, he showed up, Fantastic. What can I say? He, of course, he dropped him in round number four, and the fight was stopped at 141. Bottom line is the corner pulled their man out. Smart move, no doubt about that. You know, I love when corners like have compassion. Those brave corners aren't worth much. They're just not. I'm telling you, brave corners get people hurt. Case in point, Rico Velasquez Sr. I mean, here as senior, he had Rico Velasquez Jr. in a fight with David Gonzalez here in like 1989, 1990, somewhere around there. Anyway, he's telling the kid's been knocked down 7 or 8 times, 4 officially. And he tells the kid, show me some cajones. Show me some huevos. And he kept saying it and saying it and saying it. And the kid went out and died 40 seconds later. So, you know, it's a thin line. When you got to stop a fight, when you need to stop a fight, people need to step in and stop fights. Last night, what can I say? The young man showed up the last minute, put his life on the line because, you know, come on, you put your life on the line. You're coming into a boxing match maybe at the last minute. God knows what's going on. The head trips evolving with that. So I give him more props that Mr. Rodriguez is my MVP of the week. Now, you know, back in 1994, I went to the People's Republic of China, and they put me in charge of a heavyweight. Can't even remember the guy's name now, like Zhang. Anyway, bottom line is, to say he was a stiff would be an insult to stiffs. I mean, he was that bad. Okay, so he was a kung fu guy, and they were going to make him have this pro debut on this boxing card we're going to have in Macau. And, of course, I think obviously Harold Smith set this up as the promoter, so I had no idea what was going on. So they told me you're going to come over a week earlier, and you're going to babysit this guy. He's a kung fu master. He's like the king of the entire country. He's like Bruce Lee and Muhammad Ali and Michael Jordan all put together. And this thing. I went over there. I found a guy that had like a gut. You know, he was a bit fat. And I got to get this guy ready for a fight in like 8 or 9 days. You got to be kidding me. He's not going to fight 8 or 9 days. There's no way we can get him in condition to fight. So anyway, I'm trying to watch his diet. I'm trying to take him to the gym, things like that, okay? So I go down. I said, meet me at breakfast. And I've got a Chinese interpreter. So the Chinese interpreter tells him on the phone, meet him downstairs at breakfast at 8:30 or whatever the time was. So he gets down there. He beats me by a few minutes, and it's a buffet. So he's already got a plate in his hand, right? And this is the guy that's going to fight in 8 days against – supposedly another fighter. He had a big stack of bacon on his plate. So I grabbed the bacon from him, and he was like freaking out. Nobody ever takes. He's like the god over there. Nobody's going to take nothing from him. I took it from him. Anyway, piece by piece, just to be the jerk that I am, I counted the bacon as I threw it in the garbage. Right? 46 strips of bacon. This guy who's going to fight in 8 days was eating 46 strips of bacon. Anyway, he got knocked out in a fixed fight. Actually, it was a fixed fight, but he was knocked out, and then he knocked the other guy out. It caused a riot. So the bottom line is that project that Harold Smith tried to put together with that kung fu guy, Mr. Bruce Lee there in China, that did not work out so well. What am I leading to? Unbeaten Chinese heavyweight, Big Bang Zhang. That's what they call him. 22-0-1 now. Got a draw, 17 KOs. And Jerry Forrest. Jerry Forrest came in at 26-4, left at 26-4-1, 20 KOs. Get this. It was a 10-round draw last night in Miami, Florida. Zhang dropped this guy, the Yankee, the American, in rounds 1, 2, and 3. However, Forrest like clawed his way back into the fight, and by round 7, this Chinese guy was just holding on for dear life. I mean, holding on for dear life. You would want a woman to hold you that tight when they were making love to you at an orgasmic moment. I mean, that's how tight he was holding this guy. Bottom line is, they took away a point in the 9th round. They just took away a whole lot of points, but they didn't, or disqualified him. The fight was ruled a draw, 95-93 one way. Take that back, 95-93 for Forrest, and then two judges had it 93-93 even. Bottom line is, gotta tell you, Chinese heavyweights are just there's something wrong. I don't mean it. I'm not gonna insult the race or anything like that, but I just tell you, something's wrong. Maybe they're not meant to be that big. You know, the Chinese people really aren't meant to be that big, and these big guys are freaks, and they sort of lack certain things, but Big Bang Zhang didn't have it last night, and I wish him the very best. I mean the very, very best. As far as the other fights are concerned this week, remember Anthony Durrell? They called him the dog. Well, he wasn't really the dog. Of course, he is a former champion. They say he can still bark. Bottom line is 33-2 now. 2 draws, 24 KOs. Another draw last night, but with Chiron shut it down Davis, now 15-2-1. They labored to a 12-round draw. I was at the Shrine Auditorium in L.A. Nice place to have a fight, but the bottom line is the fight was sort of pedestrian at best. Scores were 115-113. That's 7-5 in rounds for Davis. The other judge had it 115-113, 7-5 for Durrell. And then the third judge called it 114-114. 19-year-old welterweight. Let me get that back. Where did it drop off the screen there? 19-year-old welterweight. Where is it? Yeah, 19-year-old welterweight, Jesus Ramos, now 19-0, 14 KOs. Impressive last night, a second-round KO over Emilio Borrocas, 24-3, 18 KOs. He dropped Borrocas in round two and got the referee stoppage with Borrocas getting lit up like the White House Christmas tree on the ropes. That was in at 144 of the second round. Not a bad fighter, no doubt about that. And a guy we've had on the show in the past, former WBO title holder, now number three, ranked number three by the World Boxing Organization, Joseph Parker out of New Zealand, the only Samoan or a guy from that part of the world that just doesn't seem to have any ferocity in him. I mean, everything's like, this guy's on volumes when he fights. Anyway, he scored a 12-round decision over another Islander last night, previously unbeaten Junior Fa, F.A. Fa came in at 19-0 with 10 KOs. The 10 KOs is a good indication that he isn't a whole lot. Because Samoans have knockout records. I mean, that's what they do. They knock people out. They destroy people. They go in there and boom. Or they get destroyed. That's it. You know, I mean, if you can go a couple rounds with a Samoan, I hate to rap on Sonny Napopo this and that, but he was a Samoan banger we had here in San Francisco. He could hook with the best of them, okay? But guess what? If you were smart and you covered up for the very first round, the second round, you were licking them like a stamp. The third round was all over. So he was like a 4- and 6-round professional. But he never got no further than that because he had no stamina. So Samoans lack stamina per se. I mean, that's the rep on him, okay? But Parker now, 28-2, 21 KOs, a 12-round decision winner over the previous unbeaten Fa. As I said, 19-1 now, 10 KOs. He claimed some regional title in Auckland, New Zealand. The scores were 119-109, yikes, 11-1 in rounds, 115-113, 7-5 in rounds, and then 117-111, which is 8-3 in rounds, all for Parker. Hey, and is Julius Long still fighting? Cuddy, is Julius Long still fighting? Get this. I hate to laugh about this. Unbeaten heavyweight Hemi Ohio. Now 17-0 with 12 KOs, chopped down 7'1", 325-pound Julius the Towering Inferno Long, now 18-25 with one draw, 14 KOs, and in 7 rounds. The 43-year-old Long dropped Ohio in round number 4, but he ran out of gas. Well, guess what? If you're weighing 327 pounds and you're 7 foot tall and you're not in the best of shape and your name is Julius Long and you're like 95 years old, the bottom line is you shouldn't be fighting anyway, but more power to you. The fight was stopped at 255. Ohio ended matters at 255, round number 7. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, we will bring up the retired HBO Godfather in the next segment, talking about Mr. Larry Merchant himself. Of course, Larry not feeling all that well. Not a couple days ago, I called him on the phone. He sounded a little groggy, so it was grumpy. So, you know, Godfather was grumpy. So we'll talk to the Godfather. I talked to him this morning. Sounded great. Bottom line is, the Godfather will be here, of course, in exclusive appearance by the retired HBO Godfather, Larry Merchant, only on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV. Ring Talk Live Worldwide returns after the break. There's no guarantee. Smile is in the making. You gotta fight the powers that be. Got so many. Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC. Giving up all around me. Bases full of pain.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
My favorite TV show of all time, The Rockford Files, no doubt about that. James Garner, pretty good fight fan. Good guy. Everybody that worked with him loved him. In fact, he had a lot of guys where he would, like, bring them back in episode after episode, his best friends. There's like 7 or 8 of them that he kept bringing back in different episodes. He would put hats on them, put makeup on them, almost put a dress on them just to get them a couple of bucks in a payday. So that's what kind of class act that James Garner was. Speaking of class acts, we take it to Santa Monica, California, bringing the class act in, of course, the retired HBO Godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant is. How are you this morning, sir?
Good morning, Pedro. I'm doing pretty well.
Okay, you weren't feeling too well, but a week ago you were like down a little bit. You got up off the canvas. How you feeling right now? I mean, straight up versus a week ago.
Better.
Okay, that's good. That's good. And last night's fight, everybody was, I've heard people clamoring, oh, you know, the guy went quit on his stool, or the guy left after three rounds. Bottom line is, you can't fight killers every time. Everybody wants Canelo in there with a monster every time, and it just doesn't go that way. Boxing is not geared for that.
Well, if he sticks to his plan, which is to fight three or four more times this year, that'll give everybody plenty to blame for his success. He's going to fight some pretty good fighters by the end of the year. But if he wasn't the best fight in the world, none of the fights would be any good.
You know, I've taken a few shots in my time and never been dropped by a body shot. Ever. And that's something, a bit of pride for a boxer. But the bottom line is, the way he hits guys to the body, the left hand to the body and the right hand over comes with such force, it's horrifying to watch, because you sort of picture yourself at the receiving end of that. You say to yourself, this is not good. He really can crack, man.
Yeah, he's got bigger and stronger, and he can hurt you.
Yeah, and of course now he's going to take on Billy Joe Saunders, the Gypsy, another traveling guy. Godfather, when they say they're travelers, does that mean they live in like mobile homes? That's what I'm thinking.
Not necessarily. The Irish travelers were known for living in as you call them, homes.
Mobile homes.
Because they couldn't afford to live elsewhere.
Okay.
But not normally, no.
Okay. Canelo drew good numbers last night as far as the zone was concerned. They're happy. Does it appear to you that Barry Hearn's taking a preeminent, he's trying to make a move to be the guy as far as boxing is concerned, to be the number one guy?
Well, boxing is number one in Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
The Arabians are putting up a lot of money to bring big events to them. So I would say, as long as they can snare someone as good as Canelo, they can lay all the claims they want.
Okay, there's this new company is coming out of Silicon Valley, a sort of eclipsed Bob Arum and the aforementioned Mr. Hearn as far as purse bids were concerned this week. Of course, they bid $6.5 billion on the fight between Teofimo Lopez and George Calabrasos, of course, in Australia. Looks like the fight will go down under. But Bob Arum was like the lowest bid on this, and he only bid like $1.2 million. Why would he bid so low if his lightweight champion's involved? Do you think there's a bad relationship there?
I don't know how the contract reads. Maybe it's a shorter contract than we know about, and he decided to cash in. Maybe Bob Arum is looking forward to fading from the show. I don't know.
Because these people, the Triller Fight Club, they evidently did something with the Mike Tyson, Roy Jones exhibition, and they've got evidently some other type of exhibition coming up. But they're the ones putting the money behind this, and they're putting a whole lot of money, $6 million. That means Teofimo makes $4.5 million. I mean, I'm not that good of a mathematician, but he makes $4.5 million based on versus the $1.2 million Arum was offering him. That's almost, I don't know who's being disrespected here.
I don't know, sometimes you take the money just to take the money, and you walk away. I don't know what Arum's problems are, and I don't know what Hearn's problems are, but it's clear that the Brits, who started prize fighting, look like they want to finish it.
Well, I will give them some props because it was pretty smart. I mean, last night, although the fight was marketed here in the United States in Mexico because it was Canelo Alvarez, they had a Turkish audience, and they were able to do something in the Middle East as far as numbers were concerned. Previously with Canelo's opponents, they've done good things in England. So, I mean, they're able to market both the, with this TV thing, they're able to both market both the challenger and the champion in their prospective geographical areas.
I'm not sure what the new blueprint is. We see fights taking place all over the world. Sometimes promoters have bills to pay, so they decided to sell a fight that they had signed. I don't know all the circumstances.
Okay, I'm not going to put you out here, but I was watching The Zone last night, and they had, you know, I used to, when I did TV, it was like either always in a suit and tie. And even in the heat, 110-degree heat, you was glad the suit and tie, or the, at least a shirt and tie, or a tux. And then last night I'm watching The Zone. They've got guys out there with ripped pants on and holes in their pants and this kind of stuff. And these are, this is the on-air talent, Larry. Did I miss something?
Apparently.
Have I gotten that old? I cringed when I saw that. I just cringed.
Well, there's a long tradition of hosts wearing their best outfits,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if that tradition is going the way of other things.
Okay,
I was a little disappointed.
I got a question for you. Have you had the vaccine, the second dose of the vaccine yet?
Yes.
Okay, how you feeling? When you took the vaccine, did you feel any side effects or anything? Was anything different?
I had no side effects.
Right on. And God, Mama?
A little bit. We both took some Tylenol on the advice of our daughter, and that seemed to get us through the moment.
Your daughter seems to be a whiz. She got you guys into the shot. She's like, is she got a medical degree too?
might as well have with two little boys.
and the godmama.
She's just really smart.
Well, just because I guess the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Anyway, I want you to give the godmama my best, and I know she's taking good care of you, and you're taking good care of her, and probably, you know, just do your best to stay healthy. I mean, I worry about you. I really do. I worry about you.
Well, thank you, Pedro. I had a bad week or two. It seems that as soon as I turned 90, my body decided to remind me of it.
Ooh, we'll leave it at that. I love you. Much respect. You go have a wonderful Sunday. Kiss the Godmama for me, and we'll talk real soon.
You got it, Pedro.
That is the retired HBO Godfather. Of course, that is an exclusive appearance on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. In fact, later today, we'll put this up as a Nothing But Larry. That's what we call it, Nothing But Larry Merchant at anchor.fm. Of course, we'll feature that on the Facebook page of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. But Nothing But Larry will go up later today at anchor.fm. Of course, you can catch all of Nothing But Larry at anchor.fm, the Ring Talk Live Worldwide post. Now, as far as boxing history is concerned, of course, I've got a house of story, and you don't know that. Maybe you do know that. But in 1962 in Miami Beach, Cassius Clay knocked out Don Warner in four rounds. He predicted he would go in four. Warner will go in four. He went in four rounds, no doubt about that. Barry McGuigan, born on this day in 1961 in Ireland. Of course, he was the guy that I trained with down there in Palm Springs, and I noticed he wouldn't get acclimated to, like, the weather. I mean, it was, like, 110 degrees, and he was, like, trying to stay out of the sun. And then he went to Las Vegas, and he fought in the sun, and he wilted in the sun. That's the best way I could put it. His career died in the sun there in Las Vegas, no doubt about that. He wouldn't get out in the sun. Wouldn't train in the sun. Can I say, he paid the price. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, we come to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio Channel 217, and like 1,000 other internet platforms. Bottom line is, this is WBC TV. Check us out at twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel.
I hope that you understand not one single person, not one single committee can do anything for boxing. it is absolutely necessary that we all get together. We work together. We respect each other. We like and love each other.
You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
Check it, 40 minutes past the hour. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hour number one of two today, live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Of course, live on SportsByline.com, iHeartRadio.com, SiriusXM Satellite Radio, of course, channel 217. Bottom line is, we got it going on all over the place. We can always check the live broadcast at iHeartRadio. Of course, the delayed broadcast. They're all over the place, like iTunes. Anywhere you go for a podcast, you'll find Ring Talk Live Worldwide in his podcast version. I kid you not. You are tuned to the longest-running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, we were brought into that segment by Don Jose Suleiman. Now, I take you from Don Jose Suleiman to Muhammad Ali. And the reason why I bring these two guys in together is that Muhammad Ali and Jose were really tight, and I was tight with both those guys. So let's go with Ali, 1974.
Everything hangs out with his own. White people, culture's different from black people. Puerto Ricans and Indonesians cannot integrate. Egyptians and Germans cannot integrate. Australians and Mexicans cannot integrate. They have different foods, they have different music, different cultures. See, you white and I'm black. If white people have a party tonight and black people have a party, the party will be 100% different. The music. I go in a white restaurant. We integrate today, white. You go in a white restaurant, you got to look all day on the jukebox to find some music.
No. At our party, we'll have Aretha Franklin, Stevie Wonder.
Let me tell you now. If I go... Pale jukebox in a white restaurant, anybody black Italian here, you got to look all over that box for some black music. Hank Snow, Johnny Cash, all kind of names I ain't never heard of. You know, when that train comes around that mountain, when that train comes, and that truck driver, so what I'm saying is, ain't nothing wrong with that music, but that fits the white culture. You go in our joints, oh baby, don't leave. I cried all night. Who's that running out of my back door, honey? But see, those are problems. Then I go to Chinese restaurant, pling, ting, tang, tong, tong, ting. So we can't integrate.
Yeah.
We ain't gonna never have no peace. The culture, the nature's different. I don't hate you. We can eat in your restaurant. We want to marry your women. We got your women now. It ain't nothing we can't do today. But these things the dog got. I see dogs on television eating out the same plate with white people. I see dogs in the buses, and they do everything with the dogs. So I ain't getting nothing the dog ain't got. So really, ain't nothing in this integration. I need some land. I need some jobs. My people need jobs. We need something so we can build and do for ourselves, and we must have some land. 40 million people. You know, it's a lot of Negroes just in New York and Cleveland, Baltimore, Washington, California. It's a lot of black. Woo, that's a whole nation. 40 million, man. They don't tell you the truth about that. They want us to stop having babies. They give them birth control. They're paying black women not to have babies now.
It's 40 million, not 20 million?
Yeah, they're paying black women not to have babies now. They got all kind of plans to stop our race.
Well, everyone.
So when we know all of this,
getting into birth
so now a man with my knowledge, what can you tell a man like me now? What's your suggestion? Ask your question. Okay, you talking to me, not a dumb Negro or pork chop eater, don't know the truth. I'm free now. I woke up. Now, what are you going to tell me now? I done gave you my solution, some land of my own, doing something for myself like you, England, and America do. Now, I know you're not against the black man. I know you're not against me having my land, are you? I know you English, the ruled and slave forever, for a long time. But do you still today don't want me to have my own country and build for myself and govern myself? Would you think that's bad if we thought like that? What's your solution to my problem? 1974, then you all just, some white man just flew from New York to England in an hour, less than 2 hours. You all are so progressive. You're walking around on other planets. Now, today, I'm intelligent too now. What's your suggestion? What should be my movement? Integrate?
Yeah, equal rights in a mixed society.
In this society, where you still own the government, you still own the train station, the railroad plant, the lecture plant, these television cameras, you still make all the food, you control everything, and I'm like a leech on a dog's back. All I can do is just wait for you. I can't do nothing for myself. Integrating in your society don't mean I'm doing nothing for myself. You're doing it all. I want to do something for myself. I'm tired of depending on you. You might get broke one day. Your stores might close. Your gas pumps might cut off again. I'm relying on you now. Can I have my own land and country?
Well, you've got your own freedom here, for instance. I know you're luckier than many black people in America, but you're your own boss.
I'm speaking for my nation. See,
I know, I appreciate
it. If I was representing just me, I wouldn't be talking like this, because I got it made. I'm talking for my brothers who's out there.
But I just don't see how, Mohammed. I don't see how you can slice up America into bits and get all the whites in one area and all the blacks in another.
Then we leave then. We leave.
But they'd miss you.
I know it.
One last question. At the end of your life, whether it was Allah who was saying it, Elijah Muhammad, or whether it was something that someone wrote about you after you'd gone, what's the thing you would most like people to say about your life? He was a great champion, or what? What would you like people to think about you when you've gone?
I'd like for them to say he took a few cups of love. He took one tablespoon of patience, one teaspoon of generosity. One pint of kindness. He took one quart of laughter, one pinch of concern, and then he mixed willingness with happiness. He added lots of faith, and he stirred it up well. Then he spread it over a span of a lifetime, and he served it to each and every deserving person he met.
Muhammad Ali, thank you very much.
Muhammad Ali and David Frost, 1974, pre-George Foreman, of course, he Rumble in the Jungle, man, that went down. Of course, that was Don King's first triumph. As far as Don King is concerned, of course, the wire-haired promoter came with an event a fortnight ago. It wasn't all that much. Daniel Bryan, I think, won a main event down there in at the Seminole Hard Rock Casino, I believe, in Orlando, Florida. Of course, now it appears that Debbie King, a.k.a. Deborah King, his daughter, is going to be taking over the business. So Don King Productions is going to try to make somewhat of a comeback with their training camp up there in Ohio and all things like that. So looks like Don King Productions is not dead. I thought it was dead, but it doesn't look like it's dead. Somebody sent me a text earlier in the day, and it said, hey, from a guy named, okay, why hasn't Jermell Charlo ever fought anybody he wasn't favored to beat? Because he doesn't want to fight anybody. Of course, he talks about fighting last night's winner. I'm talking about Canelo Alvarez, but yet, you know, he wants Canelo to come down to 160 to fight him. Are you talking about the king of boxing? You're not even a pauper. You're not even a prince. You're a creation of Al Heyman. I mean, if it wasn't for Al Heyman, we wouldn't know about Jermell Charlo or his brother. I mean, yeah, they're okay fighters, but are they great fighters? Well, we just don't know. Why don't we know? Because they haven't fought anybody yet. Bottom line is, they're fighting a whole lot of stiffs. They were offered a fight with Canelo if they move up to 168 pounds. They do not want to do it. Bottom line is, they don't want to fight. Leo Randolph, I want to mention this, 1976 Olympic gold medalist, of course, part of that great team with Ray Leonard and the Spinks brothers, both Michael and Leon, of course, and Howard Davis won the MVP. And as I said, Ray Charles Leonard was 139-pounder. Good Lord, 139-pounder. Anyway, Leo Randolph won the bantamweight gold medal, and he went on to win a WBA, I think, bantamweight title as a pro just for a minute. Bottom line is, he was born in 1958. He turned, yesterday was his birthday, 1976 Olympia. More props to him. Frank Bruno, remember him? Yeah, he challenged Mike Tyson twice, I think, for the heavyweight title. Got lit up like a White House Christmas tree, not once, but twice. But the second time he fought Tyson in Vegas, I think he got destroyed in like three rounds. So it's like, you know, we sort of expected. I mean, you know, a soft chin against the punching power of Mike Tyson. You figure out what's going to happen there. Don't have to be a genius. Don't need a psychic. Don't have to call a 900 number. So anyway, I see Frank. I'm flying back on United. And of course, I'm flying in first class. Got a little roll. And who's sitting in first class with me? Frank Bruno. Frank Bruno's got this beautiful blonde wife. We're talking back and forth like he's in the front row in front of me, and I'm trying to like hoist a tape recorder over the seat. In other words, I'm not wanting him to get away without an interview, of course. And he talked about fighting Tyson the night before, and he said, you know, I sort of choked. And I said to myself, there's only two ways to fight Tyson. And that's either the way you fight him with a whole lot of intestinal fortitude and you're not scared of him like Buster Douglas, because, you know, Buster lost his mother and Buster was afraid he was going to get killed. When you've got fear running against you and, you know, some tragedy as well, you can get motivated. And Evander Holyfield, of course, he had beaten Mike Tyson up as an amateur a couple of times during sparring. So that was sort of a pre-written rule. But Frank Bruno, Frank didn't have a chance against Tyson. Frank was an upper echelon heavyweight, and I think he might have held the crown at one point in time, but he wasn't considered a ring magazine will now look back at Frank Bruno and say he was a truly great heavyweight from the UK. Bottom line is, he's bipolar. He's depressed. Evidently, they took him in and out of a nut house a couple of weeks ago. He's like, confined and strapped up and all that kind of good stuff. That isn't good. I mean, that's never good when they have to strap you down to a bed. That's what allegedly he was strapped down in some psychiatric institution. Evidently, he says he's coming and making a comeback now. More power to him. That's a little scary for me. And speaking of guys making a comeback, Alex Ramos. Remember him? At one point in time, he was the USBA, United States Boxing Association, which was a spinoff of the IBF, middleweight champion. He came to us from the Bronx. They call him the Bronx Bomber. He was an outstanding amateur, but that's where he sort of left it, in the amateurs. Anyway, he was one of tomorrow's champions with Bobby Chez and a couple other guys. Anyway, the bottom line is Alex Ramos was damaged goods by boxing. He got in a fight with James Kinchin. He got hung up on the ropes, and he got hit with some shots to where he was already knocked out. In other words, he was already knocked out, and the ropes hung him up. And he took these two punches, and they were the equivalent of getting hit with a baseball bat. A hammer. That's how hard he got. That's one of the hardest hits I've ever seen in my life. And he took it unknowingly. In other words, when you're in a concussed state and you get hit and you're in a concussed state, that's just not good. Anyway, it permanently damaged Alex Ramos. Of course, and Alex, we sort of knew this. His career was about over at that point in time. Had a few more fights and basically didn't have good results. So anyway, in 2000, we go to Puerto Rico. And they put me in charge, or the promoters put me in charge of checking everybody out of the hotel rooms. So I'm checking out the hotel rooms, and I'm going from room to room. And when you check out fighters, you have to check out the mini bar, because fighters are notorious for going in and drinking out of the mini bar. Okay, not supposed to, but they do. I mean, the bottom, especially get guys from the hood, this and that. You know, you got free booze in front. They think it's free, and it's like, but anyway, you have to pay for it. You know, we have to charge for it, and the hotel charges us. So anyway, I went through everybody's refrigerator. You know, I looked in and seen how many cans were in there. And I counted them up and that kind of stuff, the bottles and that kind of good stuff. So I was a little maid doing this for Harold Smith, the promotion. And I got to Alex Ramos's room, and I didn't think nothing of it. I looked in the refrigerator. I counted up all the drinks. There were these little martini drinks and little cans. Okay, they were in little drinks and cans, mixed drinks. But anyway, so I checked him out, and, you know, he didn't drink anything, so no charge, this and that. He gets to go, and I'm downstairs on the bus, and the hotel security comes to me, and they're dragging me off the bus. What's going on? You know, blah, blah, and the guy's screaming in Chinese. And he shows me this can, Hublin, I think it was a cocktail can. And underneath the can had been poked in with like a screwdriver, and somebody had poured all the alcohol out of the drink, and then poured water back in the can, and then plugged the can up with some toilet paper. I kid you not. So that's what Alex Ramos did to all the booze in the refrigerator. So it turned out to be like, you know, Chinese money, $80 or something like that. But the bottom line is, so the hotel security is like screaming at me because I signed off on all this stuff, okay? So I had to sign off on it. So I end up paying the $80 right there out of my pocket. And, you know, I'll get it from Harold later, but I paid the $80 out of my pocket. So here's Alex Ramos. I get on the bus, and he doesn't remember it. And you can't chastise somebody that doesn't remember anything. You just can't do it. I mean, it's absolutely impossible. You're scolding somebody for something they don't remember. So that's my sort of last memory of Alex Ramos. Anyway, this week they say he's permanently damaged to the point where he has to stay in an old folks home or something like that. So we wish him the very best. We hope he can recover. But boxing is nasty, baby. That's a classic example. Alex Ramos. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Little East Bay Soul to the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV. Of course, you can always check out the latest from the World Boxing Council at WBCBoxing.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Welcome back to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, of course, a Sports Byline production. My name is Pedro Fernandez. We're talking boxing MMA today only on Sports Byline. Let's just play a little bit. This is New Tower of Power. The Masters of Funk, no doubt about that. The Godfathers of Soul, call them whatever you want. Bottom line is the boys from Oakland, California, led by Emilio Castillo. Did 50 years of funk and soul last night on PBS. If you missed it, they've got it on PBS Passport. Some of the stations in the country have not played it yet, so you got to check your local TV guys. But the bottom line is Tower of Power, 50 years of soul and funk. But, you know, a little weird. because the guy that was singing lead on this special, Marcus Scott, is no longer with the band. He was fired like 8 or 9 months ago. So the bottom line is they don't have a lead singer right now. Ray Green is the lead singer for Santana. He's a former Tower of Power lead singer. Now he's the lead singer for Santana, and he's also doing something for Tower of Power. So when Santana's not working, he can do some gigs with Tower of Power, but the Tower is looking for another vocalist. The last time I sent a vocalist their way, it was Larry Braggs. I recommended Larry Braggs when he was with the band Executive Suite. They were playing on Fisherman's Wharf down there at a nightclub. I was introducing them once every Saturday night. I said to myself, this guy's got it. This guy's a great singer. Oh, yeah. Bottom line is Jeff Tamalier heard him. Next thing you know, he spent 12 years with the band. So there's nobody I can recommend right now outside of Scott Cuddy. Scott Cuddy, maybe put Scott Cuddy in as a new lead singer for the Tower of Power. If the money's right. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC-TV. Of course, we come to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, as well as, of course, Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. You can catch us live and delayed there. Of course, this is the longest-running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hour number one of two, live on Sports Byline. Of course, stay tuned for hour number two. We'll bring in Socrates Palmer and hear some more about Joe Frazier from, of course, his good friend Richard Sloan. So more of Joe Frazier boxing and Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC-TV, after the news.